I forgot to say that it's not just Calvin who is pastor for Livingstone, it's also Yin Wen. So Yin Wen is our second pastor for the Mandarin congregation. Yin Wen will be working part-time 3 days a week. So she will also be inducted at the Mandarin service next week at 9:30, and Calvin will be inducted here at 11:30 next week. Let's pray, and then we'll look at the passage, Psalm 150. Father, we come before you as creatures, people you have made, and made to worship you. Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we can see your greatness, to see more of who you are, how glorious you are, how big and majestic, that you are surpassingly great. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to give you the worship that is due to your name. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. In Malaysia, you know I like food, don't you? Anyway, in Malaysia, you can go out for lunch to an Indian restaurant, and you can either have, they have like a set meal called banana leaf, or a plate. And what comes with that is they'll give you rice, curry, some either chicken or fish curry, then you've got a lentils, then they give you some papadums, and it's the same for both plates, but if you go for banana leaf, it's unlimited. So you can just keep on eating and eating and eating. And so often when the waiter comes to you, he'll say, banana leaf or plate. And then if you are not, if you don't have a big appetite or you can't eat so much, then you will just go for the plate. But if you can really eat and you're hungry, then you will go for the banana leaf, because it's unlimited enjoyment of your food, and it's, it just keeps coming. The waiter just keeps walking up and down, and you can say more rice, more curry, more, and it's a fixed price. So, So you choose banana leaf or the plate depending on your appetite. So it corresponds to how hungry you are. And I think it's similar with that, in that sense, with praise. We should praise God in proportion to God's greatness. Our praise of God should correspond to how worthy God is, how great God is. If God is a teeny bit God, small God, then our praise is tiny and small. But if God is a big and great God, then our praise of Him should be big. So let's look at Psalm 150. What does Psalm 150 teach us about God and how He should be praised? The Psalm is quite well, easy to structure, so it makes it easy to follow. Verse 1, before we go to the verses, it starts off with praise the Lord. The very first line says praise the Lord, and the very last line says praise the Lord. So what is this psalm about? This psalm is telling us praise the Lord, praise God. And we see that in the whole structure as well. Okay, the structure. So verse 1 says, the way of praise. Where is God to be praised? Verse 1. Verse 2, why of praise? The reasons for praise. Why should we praise God? Verses 3 and 5 tells us the how of praise. How should God be praised? And verse 6 is, who should praise God? The who of praise. Okay, let's look at the verses, take it one at a time. So please keep your Bibles open and see what God's Word is saying about how we should praise Him. Okay, the where of praise. Verse 1 says, praise God where? In His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. See, in the Old Testament, the place where you went to worship God was the temple. So when it says praise God in His sanctuary, it's talking about the temple in Jerusalem. That's where God was praised. But it's not just in the temple. It's also saying praise Him in His mighty heaven. So here on earth, God is praised in the temple, but not just on earth, in heaven, God is praised by the heavenly host. The angels and the heavenly beings are praising God in heaven as well. So it seems to indicate that wherever God is, because when we see, where is God? God is in heaven. Where is God? On earth, the place, His dwelling place was the temple. So wherever God is to be praised. If you read the book of Revelations, we have angels surrounding the throne of God saying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. They are always praising God 24/7. God is praised because He is worthy to be praised. We live in the New Testament post Jesus' death and resurrection, so we don't have a temple. So where do we praise God? And so the Bible, when we read the Bible, we see that the temple has changed. So the temple in the Old Testament, when Jesus came in John 1:14, the verse says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That word dwelling is the word tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. He pitched His tent among us. And it's an allusion to the temple, saying that Jesus is the temple. If we went to, in the Old Testament, where did you go to meet God? You went to the temple. For us, where do we go to meet God? We go to Jesus. Jesus is the temple. Remember, Jesus said, if you tear down this temple, I can raise it up in 3 days. Then they said, who do you think you are? This took so many years to build. And Jesus was saying, no, it's not about the physical building, it's about me. It's my body, the temple. So, temple terminology refers to Jesus for us. So, so it's Jesus primarily, but we also see in the Bible that the temple is used to refer to God's people secondarily. So, in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 36, it says, God's people gathered together are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells among, not the temple, God dwells among His people corporately. That's where God is. As we are sitting here today as God's people, we are His temple. So this is the place in which God is to be praised. And it doesn't have to be a building. If we as God's people meet in the park, if we as God's people meet in our home groups, if we as God's people meet in a school, wherever God's people meet, that is where God's dwelling place is. We see that also in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Jesus is the living stone and His people are living stones because we are in Jesus. We are connected to Jesus. So we are the temple because Jesus is the temple. So this kind of a side note on temple. But basically why I bring it up is because, so whenever Christians gather, we are a singing people. We are a praising people. Throughout history, God's people, when we come together, we sing. Why? Because God lives among His people. And so we praise God corporately. So where the way of praise, wherever God is to be praised. Whether it's the temple, Old Testament, in heaven, or corporately when people gather together, God is to be praised. So, living stones, joined to the living stone, we are a praising people. We praise God because God dwells among us. Okay, next, verse 2. The why of praise. We've done where. Now why should God be praised? Verse 2 says, praise Him. Why? for his acts of power. What are God's acts of power? There's so many, isn't it? We have two big ones. Creation, if you like the green vegetables, creation. God, by just speaking, made the universe. He made things seen and unseen. We can praise him for the things that you like. Some of you all like horse riding. Praise God for horses to ride. Praise God for lions, for butterflies, for birds, for kangaroos, for polar bears, for koalas. Praise God for the sun, the moon, the stars. Praise God for warm, sunny days. Praise God for the beach. Praise God for coffee. Praise God for yamcha. Praise God for whatever you enjoy. These are all God's creation, isn't it? That we can, we can take pleasure in and know that it comes from God's power in making the world and also God's power in sustaining the world. I think sometimes we take it for granted, isn't it? We take it for granted. I think when I saw Interstellar or all the space movies, and you realize that man is just a black, dark, uninhabitable world in all these other planets. And it's so gloomy and so grim. And then we have such a wonderful planet. I just take it for granted because it's always been wonderful since I was born. It's still wonderful and it's continuing to be wonderful. But imagine we can take it for granted. Imagine it's like when your mom does the laundry. Your mom does the laundry. It's routine. It gets done. You don't notice. You don't thank her. And then one day you wake up in the morning and you have no clothes to wear. And then you turn and say, why didn't you do the laundry? And we expect the laundry to be done by someone else and we don't thank them for it. So it's a bit like that, isn't it? We are in this world, the sun rises, we have air to breathe and we don't say thank you because it's routine, it's normal. But Psalm 150 says, praise him. And it gives the reason for his acts of power. God is sustaining the world and we should praise him because we are alive. We should praise him because the sun is rising. We should praise him for all the food that grows that is carted to our house and we get to eat. So many things, isn't it? But not only creation, it says praise him for his acts of power, includes redemption. God in the Old Testament saved his people. They were slaves in Egypt, and the great saving act was God redeeming his people out of bondage and slavery and setting them free. For us in the New Testament, the great act of redemption was God sending Jesus to be born among us, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, so that we can be restored in a relationship with God. And so we can praise him because we who were slaves to sin are now free to serve God, free to love God, free to walk in his ways. And so we should praise God for that, that we are his people, redeemed by him. So praise God for his acts of power. The next thing that it says is, praise God for his surpassing greatness. So if the earlier bit is about what God has done, the second verse is about who God is. Praise God for who he is. Who is God? God is great, 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 great. He's surpassingly great. In Isaiah 40 verse 15 it says this, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. So picture the United States, Russia, China, United Kingdom, all the countries of the world, compared to God, they are a drop in the bucket. Picture all the countries of the world, put them on a weighing scale, they are like dust compared to God. Insignificant, lightweight compared to God. God is surpassingly great. That's why we should praise Him. Oh, Isaiah 40 verse 25 and 26. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. There are more stars in the universe than the sands on all the seashores in all the countries of the world. There are innumerable number of stars. And yet God's greatness is seen in that He knows each star by name. He calls each by name. I can remember a few things in terms of mobile phone numbers and phone numbers. I can remember Jean's mobile phone number. I can remember my mobile phone number. I can remember a couple of my home in Malaysia and here and the people we live, Jean's sister's phone. I can remember a handful of phone numbers. But God knows every one of your phone numbers, and He knows every mobile phone number of every single person on planet Earth. Isn't that amazing? God is great. God is great. Lord, what is His phone number? 999-4900. He knows all phone numbers. He knows everyone's mobile phone number. Isn't that amazing? So why praise God? Praise God because He is surpassingly great. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Next, the how of praise. Praise Him with everything you have. Praise Him with everything you've got. It says, praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. See, all kinds of musical instruments are mentioned. Trumpet, harp, lyre, strings, pipe, cymbals. But not just instruments. It says, praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. On joyous occasions, when Israel came and worshipped God, there was exuberance, there was celebration, there was timbrel and dancing. You'll remember Exodus 15, that great deliverance when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and Pharaoh and the horsemen were chasing them, and then God's acts of judgment in the waters coming back over the Egyptians, and God's people were saved. They were rescued. How did they respond? They didn't sit quietly. How did they respond? Miriam, it says, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. They were happy. They were celebrating. They were rejoicing. Imagine if you were in slavery in Egypt for generations, and then you cry out to God because you are oppressed, and God comes and saves you. And when you are saved, when you're on the other side, what do you respond? You respond in thanksgiving. You respond in celebration. And that's what they did. But that's the Old Testament. We have been saved from far worse things. We who once were God's enemies, we who once were under sin and God's judgment, have been rescued. We were in darkness, but we have been brought out into this realm of grace, God's favor, light. We are children of light. How much more we have reason to celebrate. We are now God's children. We are deeply loved. Our sins have been washed clean. Our names have been written in the book of life. How do we respond? We respond in giving God great praise. And finally, the who of praise. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The verse is quite humbling, isn't it? It's saying that your praise is insufficient. It's saying that all of us singing together in Livingstone this morning, it's insufficient. God is so much more worthy of praise. It's saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Human praise is not enough. It's calling the rest of creation to praise God. So not just men. So it's saying, yes, men, women and children, young and old, poor and rich, we are to praise God. But that's not enough. God is so worthy of our praise that human praise is not enough. It's insufficient. So it's taking all of creation, sea creatures, animals, everything in heaven and earth and under the earth is called to praise God as well. Because God is surpassingly great. John Piper has this quote. He says, mission exists because worship does not. Why do we go on mission? We go on mission because God is not being worshipped as He ought to. God is glorious and He should be worshipped. But there are lots of people who have not heard of this great God. And so we go to tell them, hey, listen, there is a great God who made you. Your life belongs to Him. He is sustaining you. And our response is to worship Him. Come and worship this great God. So mission exists because worship doesn't. We are calling people to come and worship God. And missions will cease. One day there won't be any more mission. But worship will continue throughout eternity. So how does Psalm 150 relate to us in Livingstone? I think we are pretty conservative as a church, and our praise sometimes is quite conservative. But God is great. God is great, and He is deserving of great praise. So we should praise God exuberantly. We should praise God fervently. We should praise God with everything we have got. Because God is great and He is greatly to be praised. We shouldn't give Him half-hearted, second-hand worship. When we come to church, we should be engaged. We should be praising God. Our hearts should be there. We should sing and rejoice in our God. Isn't it? Isn't God great? So He should be greatly praised, isn't it? I'm not saying there's no time to be still and quiet and sober. Sometimes worship, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. There's times of reverence, there are times of quietness, and that too is a way of worshiping God. But Psalm 150 is saying, it's not one of those times. Psalm 150 says, Praise Him with all you've got. Let everything within me praise the Lord. David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. And there's an incident in the Bible where he was coming back with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of God's presence. God is with us. And he danced with all his might. He was exuberant. And I think we have even more reason to praise God, because we know the full story. We know that Jesus has conquered death and he lives. We know that when we die, we will be with Jesus forever. We're not afraid of death. We're not under sin's domain. We have been set free. We are children of God, members of his family. So that's one way we should be fervent in our worship. The second thing is, we don't want to have empty formalism. In the gospel, sometimes Jesus says, "Oh, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far away." So we don't want to come to church and just go to the motions, go through some, this is what we do every Sunday. We want to really engage with God. We want to worship God. And so we don't want just doing a religious thing on Sunday. We want to praise God because of who He is. Okay? So I thought a great way for us to respond is we will sing a couple of songs. Leon and the band will lead us. And maybe we should get David Lee to play the drums, make that big loud clashing cymbal sound. Please play in tune, not distracting. Yes, please. And Dennis, please play the piano. And if you have an iPhone, you can play the tambourine. Sarah Locke is not here. Yeah, okay. Okay, let's praise God. Yes. Maybe we need to practice first. Okay, let's all clap together. Okay. Oh, they turned me off something.